Good afternoon and welcome to the War Master Podcast episode 28 with Paul and Barry.
Hello listeners, and today's episode is going to be the army review of Skaven. And the title is Leading from the Rear.
Yeah, I thought of that. Thought of you when I was thinking of that.
With all the gear, rear with the gear.
But they've got no gear, have they?
No gear.
Some of them wear cloaks for some reason.
And rags.
Ashamed of their fur.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, never mind.
Right, so we played a game. It was good. It was good. It broke our system a little bit.
Yeah, and an interesting one to debate, definitely, because there is no easy answer to what it brought up.
Right, so off and running. I've had a couple of weeks' holiday, actually. So yep. we missed an episode last week. This will be out Friday this week, whatever date that is, about the 12th or something of August. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be mainly down to Paul telling us what he's done, because I've been doing holiday stuff. What have you been up to, Paul?
Well, I also had a little breakaway as well.
Did you?
Well,
was it on an island with a wicker man?
Okay, so my wife's family all go camping on their mother's side.
She is in the house, by the way, so Paul can't say this too loud.
Yeah, I can't say it too loud. Luckily, she doesn't listen to this podcast, so I'm pretty safe. Anyway, so they all go camping every year in Wales, and there's a big family on the mother's side, four brothers and sisters, essentially, and they're all their kids and then grandkids that's coming up. And, yeah, they've done it every year, but it's a bit of a cult, really.
Cult.
Yeah, and they're Methodists, and it's not like... It's a very friendly cult, but it's a cult with no extremes, so there's no excessiveness in them, and that's what's driving me crazy.
Okay, was it like that Blackadder with the turnip episode? Do you know the one I'm on about?
I know the one you're on about. I mean, I can't be mean. Like, everyone was very nice and lovely. It's just that there's no passion, you know. There's no excitement.
Not even for turnips.
No, just about anything. It's always all sedate and all like, you know,
prosaic.
Just there's no excess, and like I got the most out of talking to the young lad who's like trying out a football trials at 15, because at least he had some passion for something in his life. And it's like my sister's brother. He's a nice guy, but he's younger than me, and him and his fiance act so old, and it's just like, oh come on, just excitement, please.
You know, so you're just the alcoholic.
Well, that's the alcoholic thing. It drove me. To drink, didn't it? I'm like, and what am I doing? I've got to smash through another bottle of wine, you know, like tonight, because I can't stand listening to this mundaneness.
You didn't get your figures out to paint.
Well, I know, I got quite a lot of Skaven done, so I've worked out my colour codes, and I'll come on to that, like, in the... So, like, holiday-wise, because I managed to get my shifts to open up to 5 days, which is great, but now I've got to pay for it, so I've got a lot of shifts on, sadly, in August. And what else have we done?
I played Janus
yesterday in Saffron. The Man and the Machine, yeah, and we had a fantastic... I played, is it the same Skaven list I'll talk about today, and I played, and he used a Goblin army, but one with only a breakpoint of 11, so it had a lot of pump wagons, which don't add to breakpoint, and the big mass of artillery they can get. And it was a good game, because Janez is obviously... He won it with one breakpoint left, so it was, I think, as tight as a game of Warmaster can be.
Right.
So it was awesome. Yeah, it was like...
And he managed to break you. He managed to get through all the 17 he needs to get through.
Yep, well, in time.
Fair play to him.
It can happen. I mean, Janez... Yeah, there you go.
His artillery just eating unit after unit?
It was dangerous, definitely. It was... Even I was noticing those casualties, yeah, with a big Skaven, I was like, oh my god, it's actually doing stuff. Yeah, but once I got things into it, it folded.
So you had two units of Doom Divers and four units of Bolt Throwers.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's eight Bolt Throwers, is that?
Yeah.
8 Bolt Throwers?
Yeah, because they can have 2 in 1,000. Yeah.
They're 8 units. Bolt Throwers?
Mm, yeah, it's pretty good.
But only range 40?
Yes.
Yeah, so. Exposed.
Yeah, I mean, against another army that can move a lot, you know, you'd be on it quite fast and wipe them out. Mm. But Skaven can't do that. They can't really make more than 2 moves. So, it was a good...
And because of your brigading, he's getting maximum dice.
Yeah. He's pinning a lot of damage. Yeah, it was... I noticed it, but once I got attacks into it, it folded in one round of combat, and it was a big swing back off his break. Anyway, the setting was really good as well, because we played in the back of the King's Arm pub in Saffron Walden, which is where they like to play, and it was lovely. It was like a lovely sunny day. We put a big board down over the back of a pub table and
played outside. Wow.
Yeah.
Were the locals walking around?
Well, they're not really walking around, because Saffron Walden is very, very nice, and all we had was some old boys just come up to us and say, oh, that looks interesting, you know, like, but no. No chavs. No, there's no Saffron Walden. Yeah,
there's nobody heckling you.
Yeah, it was the most English place I could imagine. Like, you know.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah.
So, and Janus won.
Yes, he did, by, because he had one.
So it was 15-10 or something, I guess.
17-10.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've been on holiday for a week. Went up north to see my folks, and then I went to the Peak District, to mm-hmm. the White Peaks for a week, which was very nice, very nice. Had a lot of food, drank a lot of beer, got gout. From eating a lot of red meat and drinking a lot of beer. Gout's mm-hmm. no fun. So I wouldn't recommend it. But I recommend beer.
Are you over it now?
Not really. I think it takes a while, I think.
Fair enough. It says that you visited a casting factory.
That was good.
What's that about?
So I went to visit a casting factory where they make metal miniatures.
Oh, right. Okay.
It was exciting, seeing magic in action.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Was it like a scene like dwarves forging stuff, like out of rings or like Hobbit?
No.
Like, ooh.
It was quite dirty. Oh. Quite grubby. You know, because like, there's a lot of dust and dirt and...
Yeah.
Yeah. As you'd expect. Like a metal old mill. It was pretty... Yeah. It was good, though. It was good to see how stuff's done. And it was a big operation, much bigger than I expected. The factory's huge.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what... I mean, stuff's cheap up north. Down here, it would be a porter cabin for the same money. But, yeah, so that was interesting. And watch out later in the year, maybe, for some exciting development. And I didn't play any games at all, apart from Magic.
Summer holidays are a busy time for you.
They are, but I played today.
Yes.
And what a game. Mm-hmm. What a game. So, firstly, we'll mention the KR sponsorship.
Thank you very much, KR, for sponsoring us. You are awesome.
Keep it up.
Keep it up. Yeah.
Today's match. What happened today, Paul?
Okay, so I use Skaven Army that I've like kind of developed now.
Is this your tournament list? Would you call it that?
Yeah, it's certainly, unless I really change it, like this is the list that I'm going to run to Saffron Walden that are in November. So I've got a long time to get it painted, and I've started already. So I'll go for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it takes 18 units of clan rats, which is 720 points.
Not the 12 you ordered.
No, because... 12 wasn't enough. Like, I need 18. 2 units of Storm Vermin, 2 Giselles, a Plague Monk unit, 4 Rat Swarms, a Gutter Runner unit, a Rat Ogre unit, 2 Warp Lightning Cannons, 1 Doom Wheel, 1 Scream Bell, 1 Grey Seer, 2 Warlocks, 2 Heroes, and 2 Warlocks. So it has something of everything, as I like to do.
Mm.
And
it's character light for you as well. It's only 330 points.
Yeah. I mean, there's 5 characters. It could be more easily. But this is going into army strengths and weaknesses, but I'm quite happy with that list, because it still has something of everything, yet it's playing to really what the army's strength is.
Yeah, I'll tell you now that if you didn't have the Screaming Bell, that wouldn't be your character setup.
No.
Because
no.
They'd never be able to do what they need to do.
Yeah,
but exactly. With the bell, they can.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's I'm quite happy with that as a list, and I have to, obviously, you have to develop a paint scheme and get through it all. Because I want to use it painted at Saffron Walden, and then you've got to obviously reproduce 18 clan rat units. And I'll get there. I mean, like, it started early, so like I'm project driven, timeline driven.
November's the
and
next
now,
one.
Now that I've developed an acceptable paint scheme, like it won't win awards, but you know what you've seen in painting, it looks all right.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, like
I can
get that out quite easily, so.
You could even push the boat and do a wash.
Well, there is washing.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
That's heathen.
It's basically a sprayed colour, brown, then a wash, then dry brushed a different brown.
Right.
And that does a lot.
That's a lot.
Right, rags done, fur done, and then it's picking out the metal and picking out the faces, the skin. And I'm not doing hands, like, as skin. I've left them as brown.
Yeah.
Because, like... You
can't, hairy anyway.
Yeah, I was like, well, they could be not. But I would kept the faces, skin, and the tails. You don't really see a lot of the tails, do you?
No.
So, like, and that's... But I could have done the hands. And that is, like, a clan rat unit done, then. And the only extra detail is the banner work, which is just a few markings to make runes. And then I'll do a bit more detail where they need detail on the specialist troops. So, like, I've done the Plague Monks already, and they, like, then get green cloths and stuff. And, the Gutter Runners are even easier, because they're all black.
Yeah, daggers, that's it.
There's black daggers and faces. Yeah. That's it. So I will get there, and that is, distractions aside, that is where it's going.
So you've got 33 units, 17 break, no magic items.
No magic items, I want units, I want troops.
Men,
and
rats.
I've only got scout value of 3 just from the Gutter Runners. They won't win a scouting role, that's not what this army does.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't have scouting cavalry, it just, nor flyers. It's like, it's not what it does. Like, I know, I'm coming, I'm massive.
You can hear them coming, even with their tiny feet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So my list today, I haven't got it on me, but I know it because it's pretty straightforward. I had 20 units of skeletons, 6 units of bowmen, 4 cavalry, 2 bolt throwers, no, 2 skull chuckers,
yep.
2 carrion, who had a fantastic game, mm-hmm. considering there was nothing on the board they wanted to attack.
Yeah, Skaven are a strange matchup for that. Yeah, go on.
And then we had the normal hero setup, so I had a Tomb King, 4, what are they called? Lich Priests?
Yeah.
1 with a dragon.
Yeah.
That's it, no magic items.
Yep.
And that was breakpoint 17. So match 34
me. Match me for, so this is the biggest 2 armies breakpoints play we've played actually.
Yeah, by miles. I don't normally go anywhere near this.
So 2 armies of 17 break.
Yeah, but I traded off virtually all my punch.
Yeah.
For just men. And you've got a bit of punch still in your.
Yeah, armor. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a Doomwheel in there. There's a unit of rat. There's a unit of Plague Monks, there's a unit of Rat Ogres. You could definitely make this army bigger. Like you could trade in the small elite stuff you've taken for even more clan rats.
Yeah.
But you do need some punch. I mean, you could even try it like, oh, do I need any of the shooting at all? But the Zells can always just re-roll as more clan rats, essentially.
Well, they are clan rats.
Yeah, they're no worse. They can just, like, they can even do that.
I was surprised when they had the 6-up save, but they're just, yeah, they say clan rats.
Just clan rats.
Whereas normally you kind of trade off your bow for any armour.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've got big shields, haven't they? They mount the things on. Anyway, that was our match today. So we say how it went?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I got first turn on my massive roll from my 9 scouting against your 3 scouting. And then I looked on the whole field and literally the only thing in the entire game, apart from the Screaming Bell, which I wasn't going to get to see, was the Doomwheel. And the Doomwheel wasn't an easy take.
No.
But it was probably one of the few things that the Flyers could actually attack
and
try and do something against. Because I'm immune to Terror, doing 12 attacks, you're doing 5 back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I managed to get charge off on that. I managed to get the flying hero in for 16 attacks, and then I managed to raise dead in the back.
So I mean, it like turns it into a win.
And that was just okay. One roll of the dice win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it was just a case of then protecting my stuff, because now I'm in his half, and I put both my flies in the back of your deployment.
Yeah.
Just to mess you around, and they did mess you around, but as soon as they get caught, they're dead.
Yeah.
Because there's no running away.
Yeah. So I had to reorganize because. I didn't want these. I wanted to catch these things, and it took me 2 turns of catching them, bringing the flyers down. And so basically, the early game is me sorting out my back line, essentially, like because Skaven can't fight a war on 2 fronts. You know, like so it's like, this is not good. So anyway, once I'd cleared them off, because there was raised units coming up as well.
So I managed to get another unit of raised dead on the second turn with the flyers again, and I was also shooting my skull chuckers and. A bit of magic shenanigans, preventing charges and stuff. So I was messing up his battle line as it was spreading it all over the place.
Yeah. It was nice. It was like, and it stopped me going forward, me trying to sort this out, because Skaven have quite issues with command distance. Anyway, once that was the first part of the game done, and then so once the flyers were tackled with, there's 4 units of skeleton cavalry. They're very light cavalry. They're not fantastic, and because I can
they've
chase
got very little.
Yeah, because I can chase cavalry. It's like they're not the problem like any cavalry are normally. And I was like, I tried with my wizards to like hamper his rock lobbers, his skull chuckers.
Yeah.
I kept casting spells at them and failing, but that was like if I'd landed one, that would knock off a that would knock off a
because what's that plague? Is that 6?
Plague is 6 dice, so I should roll 3. That means
that
means you've got no save, so that knocks off the machine. Anyway, never failed. Yeah, never succeeded in casting it. But eventually, we had the meat of potatoes of the game, which was his mass units of skeletons fighting my mass of my army. it was fine. But Barry had done well to. Pick and shoot, and like it had broken up a lot of my army. It was confusion, and there's quite a few dinged up units. But once it got to within initiative range, I was just sending stuff in initiative. Like it didn't matter, it was just initiative charge, everything that can initiative charge.
And the quality of troop then really shot because you're initiative charge and you're getting 4 attacks. Yeah. I'm being charged, I'm getting 2 attacks,
yeah.
And we've got the same save. Yeah. Some of my stuff doesn't have saves,
yeah.
And so, like in the middle to late point of the game, you were just eating through my stuff.
Yeah,
but it was taking time.
It was taking time, and so this is the issue. So that was the majority of the time was spent with Skaven fighting clan rats. Yeah, like 2 skeleton warriors fighting clan rat units.
Yeah.
Now this is the issue because we had like basically the guy officially the gay. I would have run out of time You know, like, I finished a turn with 3:50 left, and you had about 8 minutes left.
Yeah, and you got that turn took... And you got five units, and it took you 17 minutes.
Yeah, it took me 17 minutes. So,
and that was playing quick.
Yeah, and at that... because I'm a quick player. So, at that point, you had 6 break left, and I had
And you didn't
10.
Pursue. You could have pursued into a further combat and had more of your clock, and you didn't.
No, I didn't, because I would be out... I needed the support to... Because you were formed up in tight brigades, like, with full support.
Yeah, but you could have got another one of my units.
Well, okay, and what I'm saying. Anyway.
But even less clock.
But, yeah, it wasn't tactically, I thought, the right thing to do. Anyway... So at that situation, Barry had 6 break left and I had 10, and I don't have the time. I'm not gonna have the time left to play another turn. I can't in 3:50 get physically roll the dice enough to get rid of 6 units. Mm. A good 1 or 2, but not 6.
And on the flip side, I had 8 minutes and didn't have time to get 10 units.
So, and we came into this stalemate situation, because Barry said, "Well, hang on a sec, how does this happen now?" Because I could back up, like, and flip clock, and you'll just always give the clock to you, and you're not gonna have the time to get through my stuff. Equally, we can't have this stupid situation of us just flipping the clock back and forth to each other. And sooner or later, I'm going to run out of time first, because I've got less time than Barry.
Yeah, and there was no incentive for me to engage you, because I can't do 10 units and I will die on my turn trying to kill
them. Exactly. Now, so this is the problem. So we were like, well, then, like, you're exactly right. And, you know, so officially, I say, what would happen in our setting? We decided to call it a draw.
Yeah. Because, seemed right. Yeah. Because like, Paul was definitely in the ascendancy, but his clock was against him.
Yeah. So if... What do you do in a tournament event? Because I would lose that game in a tournament event because I would run out of time. But if you had a round time, that would have favoured me in that situation, because I think I was ahead on VPs.
I think it was quite close.
It was close, but let's...
Because you killed a lot of stuff that was worth nothing.
But let's, like, hypothetically, let's say I was ahead on VPs. Okay. So that would favour me. But if the game had begun with a round time, this is the problem of a round time, is you can negative play it. Is in, like, if one person gets up on VPs, and in their head has worked it out, like, I'm ahead on VPs, I'm ahead to get a narrow win.
Earlier.
No, as I say, like, I'm ahead to get a narrow win.
Because I picked off some stuff cheaply.
You can slow play, you can back up, easily. You can take a long time doing your stuff, because you know that eventually that wins out, makes out you on top, because you're ahead. And that's the problem with round times, is that they're a victim of negative play. What I'm saying is you get ahead, and then you run, and then you just... Then you just take forever to play, make your moves, because you know that the time will end and you'll win. So this is the issue. There's no easy answer.
Well, I think because if you win in your system, you get 4 points. Doesn't matter if you win big, win small. It's only how you lose that matters.
Yeah.
So that would incentivize you to play defensively.
That would, wouldn't it? Because you could just like, well, I'm just going to take forever to play. Oh, I'm going to go to the toilet now. It's my turn. Oh, I'm going to go get a cup of tea. It's my turn. Oh, I'm going to piss about,
it is quite easy to pick off some interesting stuff. Like, at the beginning, I was like maybe 300 points up.
Yeah.
From like the early first of the turn.
Exactly.
Then I could have just played defensively.
Because there's an issue there.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
But just scenario play, is that not the solution to all these things?
Well, I'm thinking, after seeing that kind of stress test game, I'm thinking you're right. You know, it says, but we have to create 3 scenarios that are robust enough that all armies can play.
Yeah.
Because another.
Well, it doesn't have to be like. You don't have to make it so there's no scenery, so Bretonnia.
Oh, God,
like,
no.
They've got to tailor the list a little bit.
Yeah, you've got to make them so the scenarios matter, and you've got to make them that they can be replicated across the tables.
Yeah,
Like the reason the Steamroller pack for War Machine works well, because it uses three different types of zone and flags, and stuff, which are easily represented, visually replaced. So you can't have something as simple as that in Warmaster, but that's where we have to think about it. At the moment, I'm going towards a battle line style game, like we're playing.
Yeah.
Scenario 1. Scenario 2, a kind of a definite scenery.
Like King of the Hill.
King of the Hill kind of set game. And game 3, which might be a river or might be a hill, I don't know. We'll have to play it. And game 3 would be a random deployment kind of setup. So your army gets mixed up a lot, like in deployment zones. And so do characters as well. That could be you're completely scattered.
Amusing,
But again, we'll have to work it out, because every army's at the whim of the dice for a setup. If you had the table divided up into 8 8 sections.
Yeah.
And you're rolling for each unit where it sets up. And, yeah, your army's spread
out. Even in the opponents of deployment, it can
well,
be
that's
anywhere.
It, yeah, it's literally anywhere. It's like, because I was watching a...
Jesus.
Because I was watching, as a different game system, but I was watching a game on Guerrilla Miniature Games on YouTube, and it was a Battlefleet Gothic game. And it was a really good scenario, because you had blips, and you rolled to see where they were placed, and you didn't know which, the opponent didn't know which blip they were, and they were like ships. So basically you got a really three-dimensional game system. As in like things coming behind other things,
right.
Different angles. Rather than the classic, I'm this side, you're that side. So that's what the scenario needs to be. It needs to be, well, I could have stuff here, I could have stuff there, I could have stuff there. And obviously, some armies are going to need to get together again. They're going to basically have to spend some time just trying to form back into a like a group again, while other armies can operate better individually and are willing to like attack more piecemeal. So, but that would play against the nicely one of the nice one if you had a scenario game which involved. Like you need good infantry. You need infantry to take a position, or to defend a position.
Yeah,
because that would play well against a random setups game. Because in the random setup game, you want cavalry and good command characters, because you want them smashing forward, killing stuff on their own, and then hunting the next unit down.
Yeah.
While in the hill game or wood or river game, you need good infantry to either take that position or defend that position.
Yeah.
Where cavalry hasn't got a role.
Okay.
So, you see?
I think there's a lot of work to do. I don't think we're anywhere near on it.
Oh, no, God, no, because we haven't even created these scenarios. But, like, that, those three would, as because it rarely got your regular game, so if you did those three, your list would naturally be a bit different, because we're like, hang on a sec, my army, and you might just have to accept that there's one scenario your army is just not going to do very well at, because of the nature of it. But look at your list and be like, and then if they were all on death clock, then that would solve it. I think that would be that would be the best setting for a tournament in a sense. I don't know.
Well, in the other system that I try not to talk about too much, they have a death clock, but that tends not to be the way the games are settled.
No.
So it's like a safety net rather than a way of forcing
exactly,
a result.
Exactly. I mean,
and that's what I'd hope this would be.
Okay, but we can't have a tournament with infinite timings, because
nope.
It doesn't exist.
No, can't have that.
Does not work. You know, like, if you have round timing, that has its problems. If you have death clock, it can have its problems.
You see,
as well.
What I was planning on doing, and then I chickened out at the last minute, is I was going to have 40 units of skeletons, plus 4 bowmen, plus some other stuff. And I think my break was 24.
Oh my god.
And I literally, you can't even do it. You can't roll the dice quick enough to kill 24 units.
Yeah.
Plus the stuff I'm raising.
Yeah.
So, I think, that legitimately, an hour and 15, how do you circle that off with having to kill 24 units?
Very difficult, yeah.
So maybe if you're going to have a death clock, you have to have a maximum break unit size. So you say break point 14 or 15, that's the limit,
not further.
The thing
is, there is... Okay, I would hear that, but I think it would be a shame to have that upper break point limit. I'm not saying I wouldn't agree to it, but that... I mean, some armies are... reliant on a large army.
I agree.
If you had that artificial limit come in, I don't know. Like that would okay.
So say you don't have the 15, and say I bring a 24 unit army, 24 break army, and just play defensively. How are you going to get through it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Difficult.
Don't know what the answer is. Don't know. We're in a Mm-hmm. I brought it today to see what the answer would be, and I don't know. We came out with as many questions as I went in with. So.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, like, Janus yesterday managed to break my army in time. Yeah,
but that's
like,
Janus.
But that's Janus.
Yeah. I don't know how he did it. I'd still have to... Because the last time I played you, I can't remember what I used, but I ran out of time.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much stuff to eat. I think it was demons or something. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, just... who knows? Like, this is all stuff to debate and how to... it's nice that
do you want a legitimate strategy being to play the game to clock your opponent?
I don't want that. But I mean, I brought the clock system in to make a tournament practical to run, and I didn't want to be slow played. Like
the second one, because the round time would give you a hard finish anyway. But you could still be slow played.
I don't like slow play in an event. I think that is a negative game experience.
Can be.
Yeah, because if you're on the receiving end of it, you know, like, it's definitely the negative game experience.
You certainly get more turns out of a game using Death Clock. because you have to speed up.
Exactly. So that's why I went with it. But it's, I mean, it's what Sherwin said off the last podcast, isn't it? The game's revolution or evolution, isn't it? Like, yeah. So we're evolution. We're trying to evolve a better tournament system for it.
Yeah.
To get the most... it can't answer all questions. It's impossible. And we've got good beginnings. We've got a good player base, like, of players for these events. We have more players than the event can really, like, really realistically do.
On one day, yeah.
On one day. And, you know, and we have a very, very good game system. I was saying, it's like the same thing I was saying to Janis yesterday. It's like, what we do have is a fantastic game system.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, like, it took it well today. The system terrible, itself.
Yeah. It took this stress test quite nicely, I thought.
But just not the death clock.
Well, yeah, but that's something we've brought in.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
To try and make it practical.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, the idea, yeah, the perfect solution is you let each game go as long as it needs to go, but that is just never going to happen in an event.
Yeah,
that would happen in a casual, like, I have an unlimited, I have a free day, so do you kind of thing, but it's not going to work in a organised play.
No, and if you went down the time turns route, well, this game can't have time turns.
No,
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You can't have time turns.
Because the combats take forever sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
They just do.
Yeah, and just because, that's just by nature. I mean, it's just because, I mean, today we had some massive combats.
Yeah, there was a combat that ate like 20 minutes of my clock.
Yeah. And it, was just like, and it involved something like 10 units or something. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
So it's like, difficult.
Okay, so that's one on the back burner that'll be dealt with before January, hopefully.
But, yes,
because there's a number of events for you this year, apart from the Derby.
Well, the Derby event, I mean, that's in first week in October. It might just be me casually playing Jim and a few others the weekend, but at the very least, you're flying a flag there. You might gain some traction. Well, I was asked to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like first world problems. It's like, oh damn, I have to go and play my favourite game for a weekend. What a shame.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it doesn't look like that. I mean, I would love people to buy tickets and make that an event. That would be fantastic. But, you know, I've advertised it. I can't make it sell. Yeah.
Well, Bucket, it takes time. Bucket and they will come. I remember the first Smogcon was a little tiddly thing.
Yeah.
In Cardiff. Now it's much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right, are we on to fluff time already?
We are. That was because we talked about the Gaze game.
Yeah, the game was a draw.
Yeah.
But it felt better as a draw.
Yeah.
I mean, if we played unlimited time, Paul would have won easily. Yeah.
I think so. I was ahead on attrition, and it's, my stuff was better than yours.
Yeah, for 5 points extra, you really do get a lot. With your little cheese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so what's the fluff? I made Sherwin stop halfway through his fluff bomb.
Okay, so Skaven. All right, I'm just checking the time, because Barry's got a hard timing. So, okay, here we go, Skaven. My fate now.
So we're going to go through the pipe a bit really quickly, yeah?
All right, so the Skaven come about because of basically they ripped off the Pied Piper of Hamelin's story. So you've got this race of men, and this is like ancient history, kind of like, doesn't say Interlee, which is like a land, like sort of the southern eastern bit of the empire. So it's like, you know,
Italy, basically,
in the Warhammer world. So there's this race of men in like fake Italy, you know, like, and they like get it in their heads, so they have to build this massive building to honour their gods. Okay. And they're building it, generations go by, they've got dwarf help, they're building it, it's just going on forever, and it's like, and the elders are like, for God's sake, we're like, I was young when this thing was...
What was this building? It's like a...
Well, it was just building like this big church. No, like, the style is like, to honour your gods, the bigger the building is.
Okay.
Because it means something. Because gods are that...
You're reaching
that,
to the gods.
Because gods are that, like, I don't know, what's the word? Just aesthetic. I was if it's not a big church, you're not like worshipping enough.
Worship harder.
Anyway, this mysterious cloaked man like turns up who had was he a Skaven? Who knows? Nobody got his like sight of him. He was like this weird guy.
No face.
And he says,
you didn't see his whiskers.
Yeah, and his tail sticking out from under his cloak. And he says, if you make a deal with me, I'll have this building finished overnight. And the elders go, amazing, go on then, off you go. So overnight, the building is indeed finished.
Wow.
And he says, okay, and it's like, they all wake up and they go, that's amazing. And he says, right, the deal is that I want all your kids or something like your first generation.
Well,
and
you didn't agree this in advance?
No, it's kind of like the art of the deal, like, is lost on this ancient race of people. And they say, no, that we're not having that. And he's like, fine. Then I'm going to do this, and he like plays a little tune, like, and basically the clock at the top of the tower rings 13 times. It rings 12 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it rings an extra 13 times. Obviously. And yeah. On the 13th hour, all this warpstone rains down, smashes up the humans a lot. They're, like, destitute and poverty. They start starving. Rats come out of nowhere and just start. Massive rats getting bigger and bigger, eating everything. They go to the dwarves to help them, and the dwarves are all dead because they've all been, like, eaten by rats as well. And it's, like, it's not a major dwarf hold, obviously. Anyway, and that's when the Skaven, which are basically mutated, warpstone mutated, like big rats, humanoid rats,
right,
come about.
Okay.
So were they original race that were like humans mutated by warpstone to be like rats? I don't know, but that's like, you know. And
who was this mystery figure? Who knows?
The whole council, maybe it was the Horned Rat, and the whole council of 13 is now called because of the 13 chimes of this bell, and the Skaven infested like this ruined, you know, human city, which now is called Skaven Blight. And that's where the Skaven live. That's their capital city. So it's there, and they have obviously most of it's underground because that's what Skaven are. But there is an upground presence.
And who do they pay to make the cheese? Do they? do they import it?
Basically, Skaven. Like I say, so Skaven. So that's where the Skaven come about. Skaven are a race of like basically 5 foot nothings, like humanoid, like guy, you know, big rats.
Right.
That's your average Skaven. And there are teeming masses of them. Like, your average Skaven lifespan's about 20 years. Like, that's all they'll live for.
That's a fair innings.
Fair innings. So they mature to, like, adult age very quickly. Right. And then they die off of old age equally quickly.
Do they have, like, military orders? Do they get trained?
Basically, they're a clan society. So for like thousands, so like hundreds of years, like the Skaven were just like, you know, what they call the warlord clans, which are like your normal Skaven clans. And these specialist clans come about in history through like situations. Basically, the Skaven that like there's mass exodus. So basically, the problem is Skaven like have a massive rapid growth rate.
Yeah,
like the way elves should be because they live for a long time. Skaven like just get at it. You know, like they have, like but you know, like they have female Skaven are like these breeders and they have like these massive litters. Like, you know, so their population is constantly booming up until something wipes out a lot of them to keep it under control again. Normally disease is the thing, or famine is the thing that
lack of cheese.
So,
ignore the cheese. To regrow.
The specialist clans come about from, you know, like Skaven went exodus away and changed them. The Skaven that went to Lustria got really sick and became the plague.
So
monks.
Do they have great leaders that lead these exoduses?
Well, kind of. Like, they just, like, decide that, well, literally, there's no, we've used all the resources.
There's nothing left here.
There's nothing left here. We've got to go on.
Right.
You know, they basically don't build anything very well. They'd rather, like, gnaw something else.
Yeah.
So, Skaven went to Lustria, became Clan Pestilence. The Skaven that went to Nippon became Clan Eshin, like the assassins kind of guild. Clan.
Yeah.
The Skaven that hanged around Skaven Blight that got into sorcery became like Clan Scry, so like techno, like sorcery wizards. Because only the Graces have true real magic. The warlock engineers are like engineered like warpstone magic. And anybody else? Yes, and the Skaven that like went north and established themselves in a place called Hell Pit. Got very good at mutating stuff and like ogres and Skaven rat ogres, and they're called Clan Mulder.
Right.
And there's other, yeah, so they're basically the army. There's five. There's these four. So Pestilence, Scry, Eshin, and Mulder are the greater clans, as well as equally very big, you know, warlord clans like Clan Moors and I can't remember another one. Anyway, the ones of like Lord Queek leads. Anyway,
Queek.
Yeah, like, and that's who the Skaven are. And like, in their history, they've been mostly scrap fighting underground against dwarves and Skaven and goblins.
Yeah,
you know, like, and infighting. There's a lot of infighting.
Can imagine.
You know, and also they like they spread everywhere in the old world. There's like they're completely underneath the Empire and just like, you know, they're like this typical kind of evil race where if they would just unite and agree, they could achieve a lot. They just can't. And they're, you know, Skaven characteristics, they're like inherently cowardly, which is what something I love. You know, like, they're very much pack mentality, like, if there's 20 of us and one of you, we're brave.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they, you know, they do everything, a lot of things by scent. You know, their talking is quite funny. It's like, their language is quite hilarious. They're like, you know, man, things, kind of like, sort of stuff. Yeah, and that's who they are.
Did they make it out?
They built in the end times, they decided that the moon, one of the moons was made of warpstone, which I think it is, and they decided to build a freaking laser beam to, like, to shoot the moon down. They make this massive, like, warp lightning cannon, shoots the moon apart, and, like, and it's down to, like, some... It's down to, like, some slan who are like, oh my god, what are these guys, what have he's done now? And they're trying to use magic to, like, hold the moon back. And it's like, oh. But yeah, they have a big part to play, because there's one of the End Times books is Thankwell. It's called Thankwell, which he's, like, rises to the head of the Skaven and does some stuff.
Does some stuff.
But they don't make it out. I don't think they make it out.
And do they have books and stuff apart from Thankwell? Did they had any novels?
Oh yeah, plenty. Like, Headtakers 1. There's been a Warhammer series of Thankwell, and he's a fantastic character, Thankwell, because he's like, he's a cocaine addict, basically.
Warpstone is
cocaine, and he's completely paranoid and twitchy, and he's like, and like the flaws that are in himself, he sees in other people, but he can't recognise it in himself.
Right.
And he's just like, he's a complete, like, psychopath and, like
Scarface.
Paranoid. Yeah, he's just literally, he's just like, oh, I'm like, gotta eat all this warpstone. Oh, in my case. And he's like, look at those, like, other grey seers who are, like, addicted to it. They're so despicable. But not me, because I can stop this any time. But why should I? Eat more warpstone. Like, it's brilliant. He's just like, yeah, like like a cowardly Scarface would be kind of the character. But they've been the main Skaven books. There's been other individual ones, but they're the most... Like, the Thankwell series is the one you would read for, like, Skaven. Sadly, there won't be any more, obviously, because that world is dead.
By C.L. Werner. Well, did they survive? They must have survived. Everybody survived, didn't they?
I don't know. Like, I don't really care.
Hey, but there's a General's Comprehend... General's Companion or something.
The General's Handbook.
Handbook, with some points cost. And we got a big resurgence at the club.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Well, like, that was it. Well, we haven't got a big resurgence, so good luck to you guys.
Sadly, they shouldn't waste their time.
It's not wasting time. Right, so, Paul, we're going to talk about the Skaven army list, then.
Yes, we are, right.
What's your special rules?
So, army rules. Strength in numbers. Brigades can be any size and are not restricted to the normal four-unit maximum.
Hence, mega brigades.
Mega brigade, that is a very cool rule. Vermintide. Skaven units that win a round of combat can choose to pursue any retreating enemy regardless of troop types, because they only have infantry and an artillery and a machine. But, like, basically, they can chase anything.
Even artillery can chase down flyers.
Theoretically.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They're under the lash. All Skaven characters have command range of 20.
Hmm.
Yeah, we go.
Even the general.
Even the general.
Hmm.
So, the first unit entry is Clan Rats, which is the vast majority of Skaven, which would also be Skaven slaves as well. And they're infantry with 3 attacks, 3 hits, 6 armour, and for 40 points, and minimum of 2.
So they are 5 points cheaper than a halberdier, but they have the, well, supposed restrictions on leadership.
Yes, they've got, but they are going for them. They have the mass brigades and chase anything, like rules.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're pretty good value.
Yeah, I mean, this is an army where you're not going to take just the minimum amount of core troops. You're going to take a lot of these.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So Storm Vermin, we have 3 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armour. They're 55 points, maximum of 2 per 1,000. So these are like high elf spearmen.
Yeah.
But 5 points cheaper again for the negatives, but they have some positives. So.
That's a positive.
I think they're... fairly priced as well.
I mean,
if anything, a bit cheaper.
Yeah, for 15 points compared to the Clan Rat unit, you're getting an extra armor save. Do you really need them? You can only take 4 in a 2,000 point list. I've taken them due to because I like to take something of everything, but do they really need it? Are they really worth it? Yeah, it's like the thing is, they're not really that much different from Clan Rats, essentially.
Well, they are.
Yeah, but like
the extra save's good.
Yeah, it is, but it's not like it's not. That's all they have.
Okay, well, that is all they have.
Storm
3-3-5 up, that's good quality infantry.
Yeah. Storm Vermin in the fluff are Black Skaven, who are just bigger and tougher than, like, they're like a better sub-race. As in, not a different race, but they're just like
they've
big
had more
guys.
Warp strong, yeah. Giselles,
infantry, 3 attacks with 1 shooting, 3 hits and a 6-up armour, and they have the armour-piercing rule, so they count 1 armour as 1 less. And you can have maximum of 2 of them in a 1,000-point list, so you could have up to 4.
Okay.
They're strange that they made, because they're normally quite a specialist troop in the original Warhammer like version game of these, the Skaven, but they're basically... 2 Skaven carrying a big long rifle.
Oh, right, that's these guys.
Mount a big shield. They sit passive. They fit the gun on top, and it protects them as well.
Okay.
And because they basically, like, Skaven like to look at other things of other races and then make it better with Warpstone. So they took like handguns. They were like, let's make it bigger with Warpstone as
with
well.
With a big shield.
Yep.
Right. Plague Months. 5-3-0, 70 points, 2 per 1,000. These are fanatics.
Yeah, exactly the same rules.
Nice and hitty. Mm-hmm. That's good, good.
Yeah. You get Rat Swarms, which are infantry with 2 attacks only, 3 hits and no armour. Unit size 3, they're worth 25 points each, and you have to take 2 per 1,000, so you're going to have to take 4. And Rat Swarms can't be driven back by shooting, and they can support other kinds of infantry that they themselves cannot be supported, nor given magic items.
But they're dirt cheap.
Well, but you have to have them. If I didn't have to have them, I probably wouldn't take Rat Swarms unless I had a random 25 points left to fill in a unit. Because they don't really have a big role in the army. Unless if you're facing off against a lot of shooting stuff, they can find a place by being the thing the enemy has to shoot at.
Yeah.
But then then once they've taken some damage, you'll just leave them behind. Like,
but that's what you do with them.
Yeah.
At least they're cheap.
They're dirt cheap, yeah.
Dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we have Gutter Runners. 3-1, so one range attack, 3 hits, 6 of armor, 70 points, 4 per 1,000. God almighty, that's a lot. And they've got the come in from anywhere rule.
Yeah.
And the
range bows, 15.
Range 15.
And can shoot in all directions. So they have the infiltration rule, which basically this is the biggest, most complicated bit, really, of the rules. Like,
considering you never do it, well, it never comes off.
Because this is the problem. It's like, basically, you can order them up to appear in any bit of scenery that, like, they can hide in, like woods, for example. But and you can, then that order to bring them up ignores the normal rules for distance, as in the Skaven can order any character can try at any distance, but you still have penalties for distance and enemy near. So basically, but if you pull it off, you pull off this unit like well into the opponent, into the table, like in a good thing for them is to, if the enemy's going to suffer from command penalties for you being near,
yeah,
then it's a good one to bring them on in some difficult bit of scenery there, which hard to get out, yeah. And they just slow the enemy down.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what their kind of role is. You only need 1 or 2 units. I don't see why you would want to have, like, max these, really.
Well, because, you could have 8, couldn't you? But that's crazy talk.
Well, yeah, you could, and that would be all. That would not be a good idea, I don't think.
So all this gumph here just says what you've just said, yeah?
Yeah.
Because there is a hell of a lot of a gumph here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you roll as normal, but the distance counts, the enemy near counts.
So they can take other orders then after they've appeared as the counts as second order.
So I always keep saying to you, why do you not throw this as your last order with the general?
Well, you're right, I should.
But you never do. You always try and bring it out with a wizard on a...
Because
I need a 3!
Yeah, because the odds aren't much... Oh, wait, never mind.
We never do it. You just... So the whole game, every time I've played him against Skaven, the gut runners... In fact, this time you brought them on your own board.
Just something for them to do.
You must have made, like, 20 rolls and they've never come up once.
Because, the thing is because once they do appear, Skaven characters only command 20. And normally where you want them to appear is quite far away from your army to, like, slow up the enemy. And they just... They can do that, but then they can't do anything afterwards.
Maybe
they're
that's
cool.
Enough.
You take a unit, you know, just to opt, you know, for situational.
Okay, so next one is Rat Ogres, 4-4, 5 up, 110 points, 2 per 1,000. These are ogres, but without the chasing the human rule.
Yeah.
So they're 110 points rather than 105.
Yeah, they're solid, and they're the most fighty thing you've got in the Skaven list. They can chase anything. Because that's Skaven.
I mean, that's awesome, isn't it?
They are a really good unit.
If you consider how good ogres are, and then to give them that role, and lose the most.
They are a very good unit. But the problem is that 110 points cost, when clan rats units are worth 40, it's almost 3 clan rat units for a rat ogre unit.
So you took one.
I took one because
I made sure it did not.
Because one's good just to, like, again, where am I going to need some heaviest infantry? But. As I say, like, if you take too many, your break drops down.
Yeah.
And Skaven's army strength is high break point.
Yeah. So this is the best candidate for Doom and Despair.
Yes. Like, basically, if you take one unit because you should, and the enemy's gonna, like, find a way to nerf them. But at least they're fine. It gives them something to do.
Yeah.
It's sporting.
Next thing.
Right, War Lightning Cannon Artillery. It has 1 attack in combat and D6 range attacks, 2 hits, no armour. 50 points, you get 1 stand. Basically, it's a range of 40. It allows armour saves to D6 attacks, but if you roll a 1, then it's done D6 attacks to you.
So what did you do first time you shot?
Blew one up.
Roll a 1, then. Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, they're funny. Like, yeah, so they're an interesting artillery piece. They're obviously not in the same league as like a flame cannon or a cannon or anything, but they are cheap at 50 points each.
But the range 40s, range 40s, real pain in the
arse. It's like, yeah, it's sometimes you need. They can do well. Like,
well, they give armor saves as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. But it can cause.
I mean, it did stop me charging them with the flies because you do get full standard
shoot. They do, and they can stand
and
shoot, and they do give a confusion rule where any casualties, it doesn't have to be the elf done by warp lining, can cause confusion on a six, and units adjacent can be confused on a six. So they can get some.
Yeah, but you only roll one dice, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
For these warp lining.
Yeah, plans. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically, if you've done damage with a warp lining cannon, you're rolling a dice to see if they're confused or anything they're touching confused. Yeah. And you do, it's separate from normal drive backs.
They're interesting.
Yeah.
But I found it, you didn't really get a lot of value out of it.
No, I could see a list build which wouldn't have them in it, which wouldn't have warp lining
cannons. Because they did slow down that brigade as well.
But I do like the build, the brigade I've built of, which has two Giselles and two warp lining cannons in it. I like that build. Because Skaven can build this uber brigades, like you can build a shooting brigade that is really like, you won't want to attack it. Yeah.
No. Okay, right, so next one's Doomwheel. It's a machine, 5 attacks, 4 hits, 4 up armour, 125 points, 1 per 1,000. Special rules are that when it charges, not only does it get plus 1 for charging, it gets D6, doesn't it? So it gets, instead of the extra 1 for the chariot we get, it gets another D6.
Yeah.
And now this bonus applies only to charging, not when pursuing.
Oh, I just spotted something, actually. The warp lining cannon is 2 per 1,000. You could have 4 of them. Ah, didn't know that.
Yeah, well.
Interesting. I wonder why I ended up with so many warp lining cannons. It's like, that's why. Yeah.
So, the Doom Wheel is what a steam tank should be.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is really good. Mm-hmm. It can do a lot. Does it cause terror? Yes, it does. Does it move 20? Yes, it does. It's got 4 armor, 4 hits, and it does loads of attacks when it charges.
Yeah.
Was it 6 plus D6?
6 plus, it does 5.
Plus 1 for charging.
But it's D6 bonus attacks in addition to the normal plus 1 for charging.
So 6 plus D6.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's only on a small base.
Yeah. It causes terror as well.
It does.
150 points. No, it's not. It's 125. It's good.
It was the first thing I took out because I was scared shitless of this thing. But when I see this, it makes me weep for the steam tank. Because the steam tank's just garbage compared to this. It's just garbage. And the problem with the steam tank is you don't even need to beat it in the combat. You just beat it with combat resolution and it dies.
Yeah.
So what, you got 3 up armor save? You got no damage output. You get charged and you die.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, I've realised you can brigade it with other stuff, which is lovely. So, yeah, it's a nice piece. I mean, again, it's an expensive one stand.
Only expensive by your standards. It's pretty good by anybody else's standards.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like, as in the arm, the key thing of the army strength is numbers.
Come on then. So Doomwheel versus Bone Giant.
Well, probably Doomwheel comes out on top, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think Doomwheel's pretty good for its points against anything.
Yeah. Then you have a collection of characters. So you have a Greysir, who's a general, who adds 1 attack. He's command 9, and he's 130 points. He's a wizard as well. And then you have your generic heroes with command 8, 70 points, and you have your warlocks, which are wizards, which are command 6 and 30 points. And you have a screaming bell, which we should mention.
Should do, really.
Yeah, like,
that's just the integral piece of the army.
Yeah, so for 125 points, you get this near 0 attacks, 4 hits with 4 armor.
So it takes some putting away.
Yeah. I mean, it can't fight. So it's like,
if you push back, does it die?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And it's force retreat. It will destroy your force retreat. What it does is it can only move alongside other infantry. Like, it's in, like, it can't move on its own. Can only move as part of a brigade, and adds plus 1 to the command value of any Skaven or hero or any Skaven hero or warlock within 30 says, I've been doing this wrong, Barry. It's not the Greysir. Doesn't make him command 10.
Oh, you bitch!
I've just realised that.
That was like the crux of the whole army, this sodding high elf Greysir.
Whoops.
Well, that just goes to show, you never trust a Skaven. It's like, yeah, well, that's part of you. They're there for you to read as well.
And also, any enemy character in 30 centimetres deducts minus 1 from the command value. It can only ever have 1 screaming bell in the army, no matter how large. And units it touches are immune to terror.
So this is an awesome piece. Slightly less awesome than I was rating it when he's Commander Ten General.
Sorry,
it was literally doing like 50 orders a game. But
yeah, any Skaven hero warlord 30 yeah adds plus one. That's my
that makes him command 9, which is good.
Yeah.
Better than anybody else's, apart from Lizardman.
Yeah.
And also, the once you get that screaming bell within 30 of characters, it causes havoc.
Yeah.
It's not on the front line. It's like wave. It's like way back.
Yeah.
But near enough to be messing your command up.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you got the screaming bell in the front, and I think you had gutter runners in the back once.
Yeah.
And that's like minus
negative two.
Yeah, it's like,
it's difficult.
Help.
But I got to apologise. I thought it was any character, but it's right. You're quite clear. Any Skaven hero or warlock. My bad.
You're bad.
My bad. Mm.
So anyway, this is the piece that makes Skaven work.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much as I thought. Because when it was making you have a command 10 general, it's like, Jesus, this guy's good.
Yeah. But its issues are that it's a benefit to them, which is great. But it's the problem is because that command 20 under the lash, realistically, you only get two orders off on a brigade because you can't stretch. They're then away from the character then.
Yeah. And they like being Geroffed.
Oh my god!
Screaming bells.
So the spell list, they have a spell called Skiddly, which for a 2+ to cast, and just changes the character away on the table, and then you can cast another spell. I haven't really done it much, to be honest. Warp Lightning, a 5+ to cast, range 30, which does 3 attacks, which don't allow armor saves, pretty standard thing.
Standard thing.
Death Frenzy, which is the same as the Chaos spell, which is 5+ to cast, range 30, allows you to roll up to 3 dice if you've got 3 stands. Adds the amount of attacks to that round of combat, but any multiples are going against you. So
you
I tend
use
to use
this.
I use this a lot. Yep. I tend to do it as one dice. So then
I think you got 6 and a 5 today.
Yeah,
pretty
good.
It's good.
But it's or if you threw a unit that's definitely going to lose, then if you get a deference offer, you might as well try for those 3 dice and hope for some amazing result, and that allows them to do a lot of damage.
But it's per turn, it's not just a one-off, isn't it? It's per...
For each round.
Yeah, it's pretty meaty, this.
It's pretty meaty. And then you have Plague, it's 6+ to cast, range 30, which does 6 range attacks, which can't be driven back, and you get armour as well. So this is a great one for, like, sniping off artillery pieces.
Yeah. I think I said I'd take a Ring of Magic for this one.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
Yeah.
You tried to cast it at least 6 times.
Yeah, yeah.
At least.
Look, searching for that. Because in our game, like, those artillery pieces were, like, key, like, in your army. I was, like, trying to knock them off. And, yeah, if I got it early, it would have been, might have been quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the spell lists. Did we talk about the Screaming Bell?
Yeah, we've always it's good. Mm-hmm. Screaming Bell's good. Yeah, not quite as good as you were saying.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
So, strengths and weaknesses.
So, the strengths and weaknesses of the army is massively its size. It's one of these armies that can allow you to take a big breakpoint because, at its core, its troops are cheap and they have a role. So, it's the strength of the army is a large breakpoint. You can get up there.
And they are cheap. But they're genuinely 5 points cheaper than they would normally be.
Yeah, it's a...
And they've got some good rules.
Yeah, and
they've got a way to mitigate the thing that's holding them back.
Yeah, exactly. So the worst... As in, another key strength for the army is Vermintide. The fact that your infantry army can chase anything is massive. So what they do is they turn things that in the game are normally very good... Like, not so good. Like, flyers are really well against Skaven.
Garbage.
Like, your light cavalry doesn't really have a role against Skaven.
No, not really.
Because they don't have the armour and they're just going to get chased down. Heavy cavalry still does, but like, your knights. But light cav don't. But weaknesses of the army is a massive thing. Is your troops, when they make that contact, when you've gone for a high breakpoint, aren't high quality. They certainly don't like terror. Around, and they don't have flyers themselves. They command 20 of all their characters is very limiting. Is that the most the brigade can get is 2 orders. One, if the character orders the brigade, it moves forward up to 20, and then maximum of command range. It gets again moves forward, and it can't have a third order.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's across everybody.
The other armies have similar rules, like Tomb Kings and Lizardmen and stuff.
Yeah.
It definitely is a handicap.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
You can't have this army cannot get across the table in 2 turns. So essentially, like if the opponent's army has got like a lot of artillery pieces, the Skaven player is going to have to suffer it for a few turns of approach because it cannot rush something at it to throw away to spike the guns kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it cannot do that. And that's a key weakness of the army is its lack of... But it's very colourful. Like, this is a great example of a well-designed list which takes the core rules of Warmaster, changes a few of them, and creates a very fluff, good art, as in a very different army feel approach of the
army. I mean, they've got some fantastic units. Like, Rat Ogres are brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Doom Wheel's brilliant. The Screaming Bell is like, it's an awesome piece in your army.
Yeah.
You've got to protect it, but it really does so much.
Yeah, because it allows you to get... you can have Command 9 across the table, like, where you need it.
Yeah, and negative command for the...
Yeah.
It's like a built-in spell, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a passive, like, debuff.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal for this game. Especially, like, in today's game against Undead, like, they haven't got initiative. So, like, those orders matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they're an army that doesn't have a lot of things. Like, it doesn't have... any cavalry, doesn't have any flyers, but it makes up for it in other ways. I think it's a really well-written list. It's one of the best lists.
So definitely. Because considering... it plays like I imagine Skaven are, like how they would be on the table. Definitely. Like, as in, like, what the fluff says Skaven are like, this army plays like it.
It's interesting, because you say you want a massive break. I think I'd be quite tempted by some of the good stuff. And then maybe have a smaller break.
I'm not saying that's...
And maybe have two of those Doom Wheels.
I'm not saying the way I'm playing is the best way.
No, it's your way.
But it's a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of variety in the list. It's not... Like, when we did Ogres, it was like, basically, you're just going to take Iron Guts and Bulls.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's Rhinox Riders.
There's an army list that has several different bulls. I didn't realise the Warp Lining Cannons are actually 2 per 1,000, so you could have 4 of them.
Yeah, you know, like, that'd be a little brigade.
I didn't realise that, but you can.
You wouldn't want to charge that 4d6.
Not really. Unless you roll a bunch of ones. And
well, that would be miserable. But so I like this list a lot. I think the spell list is interesting without being overpowered.
Yep.
Don't think there's anything really breaking the game in there. Mm-hmm. I think overall, the strengths are the sheer numbers, and the stuff is generally cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. So onto the tier for Skaven, I would say that they are a solid tier 2.
I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
That's exactly where they'd be.
Yeah, and that's where they should be, because they shouldn't be outright powerful. Yeah, like
when they had a Command 10 general, I was pushing further than tier 2.
Yeah, well, sorry, that's my it's a genuine mistake.
It was suddenly a court pool trying to roll. He picked up 12 dice and he had 13. I said, that's like
the auspicious number.
Auspicious number, yeah. It's like, I'll just try and roll 13 every time.
That's like, it's what you're meant to be. It's like a celebrity Skaven. Definitely solid tier 2 Skaven army, because they are not the best, but they're equally not the worst.
I definitely think could be competitive.
I mean, I'm trying to win the Janna's tournament. You know, like, it'd be great to win with Skaven, especially if I get them all painted, like, because it'll intimidate some people, the size of the army. But, like, here I go.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
Man up. Right, so why would one play Skaven?
Well, I personally play them because they are the fluff I love. They're they're my favourite army in fantasy.
Do you like cheese on a personal level?
I do quite like cheese. But, like, a bit of brie. But, like, yeah, anyway, and Skaven are just... They're just great. I just love their characters of them. The characters. I mean, the fact that they're cowards, I love.
I used to love the lead from the rear thing, whatever it was in fantasy.
Yeah, in fantasy you could do that. You could,
your characters were at the back.
Yeah, like, in fantasy your characters had to go in the front rank, but Skaven were allowed to go in the back rank and lead the unit still.
And
like,
you could refuse challenges.
Yes, and nobody worries about that. Like,
that's common sense.
Yeah, exactly. I just love them. I just like their concept and what they are, and the models are really nice if you can get hold of them. Yeah, like the original GW stuff. It's like they are a good like force for me. It's like they're very fantasy. They're like and they have that like encourage you to play like a coward. It's like, because when I used to play Fantasy 8th, I'd have this Skaven army that I dipped, so the models were very robust. And I'd take a bucket, and so I'd have
bucket
these,
Skaven.
Yeah, like, and I have units of like 100 some clan Skaven slaves, and as they die, I just throw them in the bucket. And people are like, "What are you doing?" It's like, well, they're dipped; they won't break, they won't scratch. That's what dipping does. But like, they're expendable; they're completely expendable. Like to me, like,
two in the bucket.
You know, like 2.5 points each. It means nothing. Like, get rid of that. You know, like, and they, you know, because the problem there is like you can make them command, like with a general around, we can make them stubborn on command 10, which was in leadership 10, which
with the reroll,
which was wrong because Skaven shouldn't be that brave. And they've addressed it a bit better in Fantasy Ninth, because you got less command from your leader characters in the first place. But anyway, Skaven are that army. Like, they should always outnumber the enemy. Like, unless they're playing like a skew build, like Tomb Kings there, which was very colourful. It was like the War of Cripple Peak today.
So I think that was one of the things that broke the back of 8 for me, was like when I realised that the math, combat math for Skaven, is that even if you beat them in combat, because the unit is so goddamn big, this unit of slaves, they were still running a 10, right? So that's a 1 in 144 chance of me doing anything worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's like 0.7 of a percent or something. It's pathetic. It's like, all right, you're stubborn on a 10, right? So what do? I just stay here and grind myself against this mountain of chaff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the thing. I mean, they...
It felt like that today, the mountain of chaff.
They're not like any other army is in why you would play army. They're not for beginners, definitely not, because they don't have that... You know, you don't have cavalry, you don't have other unit types. But they don't play like anything else, I find, in the Warmaster game, personally. Because this unlimited brigade, it just creates these... They're not an army that even, like, looks at the table and, like, where's the scenery I need to go work around or hide it? You're just kind of a blob over it. Yeah, and, like...
maybe just make two big brigades and, like... Order one twice, order the other one twice, that's it. Turn. It's a massive movement trace, like dinner plates. Yeah. Push them forward.
Pizza box, forward.
Pizza box. You're going to have to do some movement trace, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'll be able to play the army quicker as the models get finished and they're on their bases stronger. But you're right, as I work out, okay, this is the brigade I'm going to want, then I'll put it on a movement tray and it'll speed it up. Yeah, you're right, you're definitely
mm-hmm. I'd do it with Undead if I was playing them.
Yeah.
Right, so we don't need to do future events, we've talked about it.
Yeah,
you're willing, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, just contact details. So, you can contact us on the Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@gmail.com or googlemail.com. And we'll hopefully record an episode next week.
Yes, we'll set a time.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully play a game. I don't know what it'll be.
Yep.
Maybe we'll try another one of our scenario plays if we're looking at that. So that was Warmaster Podcast episode 28 with Paul and Barry.
Thanks very much.
Good night. I smell a rat. Oh, I think I smell a rat. Oh, you little kids seem to think you know just where it's at. Oh, I think I smell a rat. Walking down the street, carrying a baseball bat. Smell a rat. Oh, you little kids, and you're thinking of just where.